What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. Speakers. I'm your host, Armand. Follow me on Twitter. That's boxing, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say, was that my cue in post to echo that? So it's like, you know.
Nah. I just need the air horn. We need the air horn like post haste. I'm gonna somehow put the air horn on the album. Maybe that's what the dream is missing, some air horns.
Yo, please. I can't even talk about
that. ClockRadioSpeakers.com, powered by Tumblr. Follow us on Tumblr. Share the episodes with your friends. We are also, of course, on iTunes. If you have an Android device and you can't access iTunes, I recommend an app called Pocket Cast. You're able to subscribe to us there. Listen to all the episodes. Facebook.com/ClockRadioSpeakers for all of you single mothers out there and grandmothers and aunts still on Facebook doing your thing.
You scared me for a second there. You're like, all you single mothers out there. And I was like, oh God.
No, man. You know, I think do you go on Facebook like out of habit? Because you know, like some of your friends, like all of your friends and all your family and not on Twitter.
I would say that Facebook has different uses than Twitter, right? Like right. No one's trying to hear your every thought on Facebook because they'll just get mad at you. But on Twitter, it's a little more allowable.
Right.
Right. You know, Facebook is where you like post photos, kind of.
Yeah, kind of. It's turning to like Tweegram paradise lately.
You need better Facebook friends.
I do need better Facebook friends. I need better Facebook friends. I get a lot of my, I get nothing from Facebook other than, oh, hey, my brother is got some new shoes or something like that. Like, as far as it goes. What else have I said? Oh, Clock Radio, CRS Podcast on Twitter at CRS Podcast. And also use the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers. CRS is cool too. If you got a lot to say and you can't fit it within 140 characters, hashtag or pound CRS is always cool too.
No. They should just use the full hashtag.
All right. Okay. My bad.
No. You know why? Because I'm lazy and I don't want to monitor both. Like I'm just being real with y'all.
Oh man.
Where can the good people find you online on the Twitters?
Oh, right. Yeah. Follow me at Armand Wake Up, ArmondWakeUp, Wake Up, all one word. And where can they find you at?
Doc_beats, S not a Z.
Is that Doc short for doctor?
No.
Okay. We'll clear that up.
Yeah. Doc Beats PhD. That's what's good.
you got a master's in what?
Beatology. No, I don't know.
Got a master's in that funk or something like that.
Oh my goodness.
I think you guys can tell what type of episode this is gonna be.
What type of episode would that be?
Oh, just pure, you know, buffoonery at its finest.
Randomry.
Randomry. As only Clock Radio Speakers can provide. What's going on, man?
Not much. Trying to, you know, discreetly while we're recording, I'm keeping up on this they're announcing the PlayStation 4 right now.
Yeah. 22-year-old Armand is excited.
Uh-huh.
28-year-old Armand is like, I just bought my PS3 Slim last year. I'm like trying to budget and stuff. Like,
what it seems like they're doing is basically, all right, so, you know, Nintendo, they've got their audience, right? The Wii U isn't apparently selling that well. They're trying to, you know, I think the success of the Wii actually was long-term maybe a disservice to Nintendo because it delayed the inevitable for them.
Which is?
I mean, I think they're going to end up like how Sega ended up, where hopefully they do it in a better way. Like, really, they should probably just make software on whatever console or whatever platform they want. I really think that. Like, I don't know. To me, like, you should be, like, you know, if you're Nintendo, why does anybody buy a Nintendo console?
Because they have children.
No, you buy it for the games. Right? Like, when I bought a PlayStation 3, which was the last console I bought, it was, well, you know, yeah, I like to play the games, but, you know, it plays some of my PS2 games, and, you know, I had a Blu-ray, and now, of course, it's evolved where it's like Netflix and Amazon and Hulu and everything else under the sun. there's like all these different purposes or whatever, but like, and it plays the sort of games that, like, you know, either you could choose Xbox or PlayStation, some people have both or whatever, but like those are certain types of games, right? Like, you, if you're playing a sports game, no one's playing it on a Nintendo platform, right? Like, that's just not their market, right? They have Mario, they've got Zelda, they've got that huge, like, class of characters that they make these, like, world-class games out of. Like, that is their deal.
Sure.
But they really like to make their own hardware, which kind of used to make a lot of sense for them, but, you know, the success of the Wii, they sold so many of those. I think that, I don't know. I grew up on Sega making great games, and it was always that, you know, the system maybe sometimes held it back. Right, like, I never owned a Saturn, even though I wanted to, because some of those Sega games were crazy, right? I would have loved it if Sega could have made those games for some other platform. That's why I bought a Dreamcast.
Dude.
Right? I don't want Nintendo to end up in 5-10 years like what happened to Sega.
Sure.
Right? So that's how I approach it. So, you know, Nintendo's going after families. You know, the casual gamer, like, really, that's smartphones and tablets right now.
Yep.
Like, Apple and, to some extent, you know, Android is going to get that casual gamer category.
Yeah.
So what it looks like Sony's doing is they're like, you know what? We're going to go after the gamer. Like, we're going to, you know, they totally changed how the hardware of this new PlayStation is. So the PlayStation 3 was kind of controversial at the time. Totally custom hardware. Like, you had to write games in a certain way. It was complicated, but theoretically pretty powerful. This new one is basically built off of, like, it's the same. It's built with most of the same technologies as what would go in a PC. It's just really, really high end. That makes it really easy for developers because they know how to develop for PC. It's going to have a huge internal hard drive. They've got a Kinect style camera that's going to come with it. Like, their whole strategy seems to be like, it's all about, like, the gamer. Which, I mean, they might not, you know, sell 100 million of that, but they're going to make money.
You know, there it is. There it is. PS1, PS2, and PS3 games to be playable via the PlayStation Cloud service.
Yeah, they're going to stream games.
That's crazy.
I mean, so you know how they did backwards compatibility on... So, like, when you bought your PS2, it could play PS1 games. Because the PS2 was powerful enough that it could, it could emulate it, basically, right?
Right.
When you got the PS3, the PS2 was such a weird, like... just architecturally, and I could really nerd out over that because I know all that and nobody wants to hear that, but it's shocking for listeners, I know. The PS2 was complicated enough that they basically had to shrink the PS2 chipset down, and if you bought a first gen PS3, it actually had like a mini PS2 chipset on it.
Yeah.
It made it crazy complicated. It made it really expensive to build. That's why those first ones were like $600.
Yeah.
As time went on, you know, first they would like remove like part of the chipset, so that's why eventually it was like, well, if you bought this model to this model of the PlayStation 3, you can play some PS2 games, because what it basically was doing, it was emulating parts of the game. And then eventually they wiped it off the console completely, because you're trying to, like, they're trying to get the cost of the system down, you know?
Right.
So what it looks like they're doing, and, you know, if they were to, I mean, the PS3 is a crazy complicated beast, so if they were to get, you know, pure backward compatibility, they'd have to go down the same road, and that doesn't really scale. So supposedly they've got it so you can play the games, you know, online. So we'll see how that works.
you know this, Doc.
Uh-huh.
Being a PS, a Sony guy.
Yeah.
Their online sucks.
They bought a company, they totally rebuilt it apparently. They started from scratch.
For the PS4?
Yeah.
Okay.
I
still have yet to play a full game of 2K online.
Because it just kicks you.
It just kicks me out. At the most random times, I just think that they like sit there and they wait on the game to get interesting. And then they're like, all right, kick them off.
Oh, man.
It's crazy. But hey, I mean, God, you know what I wonder, Doc? Why am I doing the show with you? Because
what do you mean?
You're a Patriots fan. I forgot there's something else that you have. And you were a Sega guy growing up?
Like, yeah.
What are you doing?
I had a Genesis. Man, I love that Genesis. But you know what? Actually, I wouldn't say I was a Sega. I was a Sega guy during the Genesis era. Like, I had an NES, and then I had a PlayStation.
But that was the most important time, imperative time, was the Genesis versus Super Nintendo time.
I mean, like, for our era, yeah.
God. I remember when the Genesis that came out later on with the 6-button controller, right?
Yo, I had that. I love that.
Oh my God.
I used to play
X, Y, and Z.
I mean, because first of all, it was great about it. So they had a game called World Series Baseball.
Oh, stop playing!
Which was the best baseball game at the time. It was crazy, right? The best part about buying the 6-button controller is they didn't put anything like it was. It had to work with a regular 3-button controller. But if you had the 6-button controller, when you hit a home run, if you tapped the X, Y, or Z buttons, your dude would do like cartwheels down the base path or like just totally like showing off in front of the team. So, you know, like that'd be great. Like playing against my dad, like hit the home run and then my dude's trotting around the bases. I'm doing like backflips and like all this stuff. And my dad's just like, all right. Could you speed it up a little bit? If you had that and you had Street Fighter, like you were in.
Street Fighter, yeah. The greatest game for Sega.
Oh man,
because greatest. I'll narrow it down. Greatest sports game for Sega was basketball. I'll even specify.
Okay.
Coach K.
Coach
basketball.
K. I knew you were gonna say Coach K. The precursor to NBA Live.
Absolutely.
Because it was Coach K and then it was NBA Live 95.
Yep. Yep. Because before then it was like Bulls versus Blazers.
Yo, I had the David Robinson game.
Ooh, was that any good?
No, it was terrible.
Do you remember Barkley Shut Up and Jam?
I do.
Do you want to forget it? Do you want to like...
Yo. Do you remember Rap Jam?
Yes! It had Queen Latifah.
Coolio.
Who else?
Coolio.
Now I gotta find the roster for that. Hold on.
All right.
Okay. If you guys don't know, Rap Jam was like this really bad game. Really bad basketball game.
They sort of brought the feeling of Rap Jam back when they had the NBA Street series, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But
Do you remember the first NBA Street with the St. Lunatics and they were all like really, really small?
Yo, Rap Jam. Oh my goodness. Character. Coolio, House of Pain, LL Cool J, Naughty by Nature, Onyx, Public Enemy, Queen Latifah, Warren G, Yo-Yo, Flava Flav.
Yo-Yo.
Here's the thing, though. Oh, yeah. That lineup, but this came out in 95.
So the lineup is kind of serious.
Yeah.
Do you guys know that there was a time when people, when we took Coolio serious?
Yo,
like, you're like, yo, that new Coolio is kind of hot.
Listen. When Gangsta's Paradise dropped, you couldn't tell me anything.
You couldn't tell me nothing. I mean, the first Fantastic Voyage, his first
album. Yeah, Fantastic Voyage is great.
Fantastic Voyage. I even like Mama I'm a Level the Gangsta. I even liked when he kind of like after he crossed over. I remember See You When You Get There. I remember.
Oh man, yo, I seriously haven't heard that song in 15 years. I swear. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. What else do you like from Coolio? You know, you're
Oh, he also had one of the greatest theme songs of all time,
which
Keenan
is
Keenan and Kel. All here it goes. So, what else do we? Man, we can just nerd out.
We can just nerd out the whole time. But these PlayStation, this looks incredible. This looks nice. All right, I need to get out of that live blog. I'll sit there and talk about that all day. All right.
We'll come back and when they reveal like price and release date. Yeah.
So people are, you know, it's like a audio live blog. So if you don't listen to video games and you thought you were tuning into a music discussion, I'm really sorry.
Sorry.
Let's talk about some music though.
All right, let's do it.
Let's talk about what was a little bit of a news item today. So we're recording this Tuesday the 20th. All I saw on Twitter, you linked me to it, but I saw a bunch of other people talk about it, is Jay-Z and Roc Nation signing to Warner. That was the headline.
Yep. Slow news day.
It's not exactly like they're signing to Warner.
Break that down, son.
It's a more technical that Warner is going to administer their publishing.
All right.
So
go ahead, break that down.
So in case you know, we've heard for a while that Roc Nation has been signing not just artists, but you hear them sign like so-and-so as a writer or so-and-so as a producer. They actually don't really – I mean, is J. Cole their biggest name, quote-unquote, just artist?
Who, on Roc Nation?
Yeah. Aside from Jay, but I mean.
Yeah, because Melanie Fiona is kind of – run middle of the road. Yeah. Rita Ora didn't pop off the way that they thought she.
Yeah, that's true. And
anybody else they signed really hasn't popped it. Anybody else who's affiliated like Wale and Rihanna, they're just, you know, they just manage them. They're not artists signed as artists. So yeah, I guess J. Cole.
Yeah, they got a, you know, they've got some. Oh wow, they have Andrea Martin signed as a songwriter.
Who was that?
I mean, she wrote En Vogue, Don't Let Go, Love. And SWV, You're the One. And wow. Monica, Before You Walk Out of My Life.
Oh, wow.
Okay. You got another, girl signed who wrote some stuff for Rihanna. James Fauntleroy is signed as a songwriter. They got a bunch of producers. And the reason why they would want to sign those people is because it's all about publishing. Like, that's where the money really is. Right? And for me to try to go in depth on what publishing is or isn't, if you listen to the show and you nerd out enough about music like we do, please, I'm trying to think, can you just search on Wikipedia for music publishing? Because that would probably make this. Yeah. Yeah. So basically the idea behind publishing is songwriters and or composers are basically people who are creating the music. They want to get paid whenever their stuff is used commercially, right? Yep. So what a publishing company does if they're administering your publishing is they are literally going out and collecting that money on your behalf.
Yep.
And then they take a fee. That's all it is. So talk about a slow news day. Like the headline is, you know, Jay-Z and Roc Nation signed to Warner. It's actually, I think the bigger thing is Jay-Z's back catalog going to 2008 plus everybody who has signed to Roc Nation is a big enough deal that Warner wanted to make a big deal about just taking a cut off of their publishing.
Publishing. Yeah, because obviously Warner probably leaked that information, right?
They put out like press releases. It was in Billboard. Yeah. Like, you know, they made it a story or whatever. But they didn't sign, doesn't mean anything about a Jay-Z album or necessarily anything like that.
I mean, we already got proof that there's going to be a Jay-Z album. Ja Lil Beat said something about it.
We've had people talking about that for a while, though. Like little bits here and there. How do you feel about Ja Lil Beat working on a Jay-Z album?
I mean, he signed to Roc Nation.
Yeah.
So, makes sense. I don't foresee Jay-Z rapping over a Ja Lil Beats record.
Yeah, unless it's one of those, you know, unless they sort of like, you know, do what Kanye did to Southside, where it's like, on Watch the Throne, where it's like, here's a Southside record, but, you know, I'm going to come in and Kanye it up.
Yeah, unless he just does the drums. I'm assuming Ja Lil will like just do the drums, and then, yeah, Kanye comes in and adds like orchestras and, you know, like, breathing goats and all this other stuff.
Well, actually, let's talk about this real quick. We didn't really talk about this beforehand, but you know, I think we've been speculating, and I think people sort of, it's about that time for a new Kanye and or a new Jay-Z album.
Yeah, it's time.
So let's presume it's a new Jay album, because I think we've heard more about that, right?
Yeah.
Hypothetically.
Yep.
What are you expecting from that?
Nothing.
As in you just have no expectations, or
I just don't have any expectations. I'm learning not to listen to even my favorites with expectations. I'm not saying, all right, I want this, and I'm going to get hype off the album cover and the track listing, because we kind of do ourselves a disservice when we do that. It's fun to do. I think, you know, like you and I, as far as the show goes, we've been doing this for so long that like we kind of get hype over it, but then we know, okay, like kind of reel it in. But some people will really like have an entire album created in their head based off of one piece of promo from the album that reveals absolutely nothing. I mean, I'm just learning to take the music for what it is. I'm honestly, judging by the direction that Jay's going, I'm expecting, I would like a Kingdom Come album lyrically, as far as Jay being more open and honest. Hey, look, this is me 4 years after my marriage, more than just, hey, I've got a pretty woman as my wife. Like, I want, you know, what does Jay do when he gets home? And how is, you know, being at home with the baby changing his perspective? Like, I want that type of Jay. Am I going to get it? Probably not. But I'm expecting like Blueprint 3 Jay. Like, nah, I think if he does it, I don't think he's doing it because, you know, based off the moves that he's made in the last 2 years, it's very much okay, how can I ride this wave to make the Jay-Z brand all the more, to expand the Jay-Z mystique, as opposed to, I don't know, what was the last album that he did where it was really like, you could tell he wanted to do music again?
That's a loaded question. I mean, you could point to American Gangster.
That's what I was thinking of.
But I went back and revisited Blueprint, when you hear Blueprint 3 after hearing Watch the Throne and even Kanye's album to a certain extent, all of a sudden you start to see where, you know, those Timbo tracks aside, you start to see where they were going, right? The execution wasn't there, but they were laying the groundwork.
Yeah.
Right? You know, considering that Jay and Kanye sort of, I don't know if they work closely or if Jay has just hitched his sound to whatever Kanye is doing, but I sort of think we're reaching the end of that sound. Right? Like, if you think about starting with Blueprint 3 into, you know, Kanye's album and then Watch the Throne and then, you know, the Cruel Summer Project, I wouldn't be surprised if it's time for a reinvention.
Of Kanye and Jay?
If Kanye reinvents, Jay will go along with it at this point. Right?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Jay looks at Kanye and says, oh, that's what we're doing? Okay.
Well, I think at this time, it's really just, I mean, they work closely together. And, you know, I think it's just what beats is he hearing? Like, that's what he's going to rap over. And if Kanye's got this new thing, then, you know, he'll go with that. But I don't know. I think that sound has sort of run its course.
Right.
The other alternative would be, you know, the thing about Jay is he can always dip back into the well. He can always sort of, maybe not quite like American Gangster, but if he does something along those lines where it's this sort of like, I'm doing this serious project, you know, I'm going to be an artist. Like, he could do it. And as long, like, and because he's Jay, the sales will be there. There are very few artists who can actually, if they choose to, really make and do whatever the heck they want. And if but if it comes out well, people will still like it. Like, I realize that sounds sort of cynical, but like, I think based off the reaction to Starter from the Bottom, I think Drake is getting to that zone, right?
Yep.
If 50 Cent raps over the Starter of the Bottom beat, nobody cares.
Yep.
Right? It'll be, oh, that's another 50s song. But
I agree with that.
But Drake can do it. And if he does it well, people will like it. Right? I think Kanye's in that zone. And I think Jay's in that zone.
You think Jay's in his zone?
I think Jay has the cachet, if you will, in the industry to be in that zone. I don't know if he's necessarily earned it over the last 5 years.
Is Jay even comfortable enough to do something like that? That takes a certain level of comfort in your gift and in your talent to say, you know what, everybody else is doing this, I'm gonna go here. And create your own thing, as opposed to, you know, what I believe that what a lot of what Jay has done is pretty much just, you know, latched on to a budding trend and made it his own.
I think that's part of it, though. Sure, that makes sense. I'm not saying that Jay is going to. Well, all right, well, then what would you say about American Gangster? What was that?
I think that was Puff.
And what would you say about the sort of what became known as the traditional soul sound of Rockefeller Records?
I think that was Dame.
You just can't give him any credit at all.
I just don't see any proof of Jay, you know, seeing something from the jump and saying, you know what, let's take a risk. He's way too calculated and way too apprehensive. Like, his moves show that he only wants to do sure things.
Is it that he only wants to do sure things, or he knows the right time to jump in?
Because
otherwise, you make it sound like his career is a happy accident. Like, he's just sort of stumbled around and lucked into this.
No, because he's made a few mistakes. He's made more than a few mistakes.
Sure.
I don't know. I think it's just different. Like, when Kanye,
it's just different.
Yeah, it is just different. It is. I mean, with Kanye, and to a degree where Drake is going, but definitely Kanye is the best example. Like, when Kanye steps out, whatever Kanye puts out is completely different than whatever's going on. Or he'll take whatever's going on, for example, like a Mercy or a Ham or something like that, where it's the the same tempo, same drum. So it feels familiar, but then he Kanye's it. So, you know, nobody even thinks about, oh, Lex Luger did the drums on Ham. Like, everybody thinks that's a Kanye beat.
No, everybody, everybody knows that's a Lex Luger beat.
No.
You don't think so?
Either way, even though it sounds like I'm low on Jay-Z, Jay is one of my favorites ever, and of course I'm looking forward to a new Jay album. But
okay,
yeah, I say all that to say that yes, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm not gonna be Doc, and I'm not gonna Life Is Good his album.
What do you mean?
What do I mean? You killed that album.
It was okay. And when you fix the problems, it becomes pretty good.
You said
you
had high expectations on that album because it's Nas.
Yeah, because he's capable.
Is he? At this point, is
you know what Nas is the master of?
What's that?
The stuff he leaks before the album.
What did he leak before Life Is Good?
Nasty.
Yeah, you're right.
The stuff he comes out, either as the lead single or something that leaks out before, is always so good. And then he, every time, inevitably lets you... I shouldn't say every time. I'll say starting with I Am, really.
Yeah, it was I Am.
First the bootleg. And then even before, like, not counting the bootleg. Like, if you weren't somebody who was able to get the bootleg, you know, we talked about this ad nauseum. Please go back and listen to Nas Retro. I think we even talked about it on the Primo Retro a little bit. You know... You heard Nas Is Like, and then you hear the intro, and then you hear New York State of Mind Part 2, and you're thinking to yourself, you're like, he did it. He did it again. Right? And then you're like, oh, right?
Remember Talking New York?
Talking New York. Like, he has a track record of this. So that's part of it, too. Every time, just suckers me in, man.
Yeah. Blasted Nas here.
Speaking of albums that I know you're highly anticipating.
Yeah.
Your man Papoose.
Papoose, the lyrical one. Yo, they got me. This weekend, this Saturday, celebrated Valentine's Day. I was waiting. You know what I'm saying? Of course, as women like to do, they like to make us wait. So I'm on BX, and I'm just, you know, just scrolling, seeing what's on the news. And they had one of those, you know, remember when they had like a tribute to like early to mid 2000s New York rap. So they just posted a bunch of YouTube videos of Papoose, True Life, Saigon, you know what I'm saying? And I watched his first Smack DVD. It was called What the F Is a Papoose? And I remember it just took me back to 2004, 2005, when he would put out a mixtape like every month and just being in awe of these lyrical acrobatics. And then my awe and my nostalgia turning into pure laughter because of how bad it was. Like, yo, those bars, oh my God.
Struggle.
Pure struggle.
Mm.
I missed that though. I missed that. But yeah.
So he's got an album cover.
Yeah, this album, the Nas Serima Dream, that was supposed to be his, you know, his Jive album when he was the 1.5 million man. I guess they let him leave with that idea.
Can you imagine in 2013 if he had to go back to Jive and be like, listen, I really like, I'm beholden to this concept. Like, my fans demand it. Like, how much do I have to pay to get that name? Like, nah, I'm sure they didn't care.
Look, you can keep my masters. You but can keep my publishing, but give me my idea.
So he's got this little, it basically is a tweegram gone wrong, where he sort of explains, it's like an open letter to his fans, you know?
Yeah.
Well, Drake
does that.
Well, it was, I'd say it was sort of the hand, like, you know, it's like the fake handwriting in a picture, like very much like a tweegram. You know, he explains why why it's American backwards, because like if you held up American in a mirror and looked at yourself in it, like you're looking at the American dream. And I'm assuming that's why the American flag is backwards on his face on the cover. You know, he's getting real rapperish about it. He just needs a, you know, he needs a song where it's his name as an acronym, and he'd be all set. There's gonna be a lot of rap cliches on this album.
You know what he should do? He should rap an entire song backwards. Not like Nas Rewind, but I mean like where every word is backwards.
He wouldn't dare do that, would he?
That's very rapperish.
Very rapperish. Wait, he's already doing Alphabetical Slaughter 2, right? Yep. And isn't he going from Z to A this time?
Yep.
Yep. Can you throw 1 through 10 in there? Can we get some numbers going?
Numerical Slaughter? Roman Numerical Slaughter?
Yo, on this hypothetical mock album that we're going to make someday, Numerical Slaughter could definitely be like an early
10
cut.
10, 10.
Yeah, anyway.
10 knives and 9 nines and I could do it.
Yeah. So March 26th.
Got a date.
Are we going to talk about this album on
Clock? I would love to do a Papoose retrospective.
Come on. I don't even know. No. That means I'm going to have to listen to K-Slay tell me why I'm a horrible human being. Like, I just can't. I can't.
I just gave you $10 for my mixtape.
$10. Yo, people used to pay. First it was 10. Then it got cut to 5.
Yep.
I'd be interested to know, anybody listens to this, you still live in New York, and you know, if you're still faithfully going to the dude on the corner down on Canal Street and paying for mixtapes, what's a mixtape go for these days? I want to know.
They probably sell you tapes in bunches.
Bunches.
Probably do that, you know, like 5 for $20 or something like that. That's crazy.
So March 26th, does he have he's got a single, right?
Yeah, I think it's some single with like Movado or something like that.
It is with Movado. That's very Papoose.
Oh, that's super New Yorkish.
Yeah.
It's totally gangsta. Yeah. Nah, I'm cool.
And the second single apparently has Remy Ma on it, I think. Cause you know, they husband and wife.
Right.
She's apparently coming out next year. So
okay.
Everybody set your calendars. We're probably gonna get who knows, maybe she's been sharpening her craft, but I'm guessing we're gonna get a pretty rusty Remy Ma on a mixtape in about 18 months.
I can just imagine her voice sounding like Luna Vachon right now.
Luna Vachon.
She's just like,
hey. She was scared. Yo, I don't, she was scary, man.
She was super scary. She's with Bam. She's with Bam Bam.
Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah, rest in peace, Bam Bam Bigelow. What was I going to say about Papoose? Oh, your man gets out of jail tomorrow.
Who's my man?
Ja Rule. Ja Rule. They letting the gates out. Right as
You think he's got a diss to 50 like just ready?
I think he's got a diss to Lil Wayne ready for calling himself the new Pac. There's only one. Only one imitation Pac can roam these streets.
Well, it spread, right? I mean, remember when Eminem was doing his white Pac thing? I mean, that was just...
You know, we're not going to let you forget that, Clock Radio Speakers fans who just so happen to be fans of Eminem. That was horrible. That was G-Unit phase too, right?
It was. Let me say this, though. I do like Ja Rule's pain.
I had records.
I mean, that's an imitation Tupac. It's a remake of a Tupac record, but...
Yeah.
I used to love that, man.
Yeah. One of the reasons why I used the sample on the album. It wasn't my Tupac impersonation.
No, I know.
But yeah, man.
Speaking of Tupac, so do we want to talk about your man Wayne now? Is that the...
I guess.
So Wayne has a history of this where he apparently feels like if he is sitting courtside at an NBA game, he expects the players to come and, you know... You know, show him love. He's Lil Wayne, right?
Right.
Come, you know.
We all love the Carter.
Just come kiss the ring. You know, come come say what's up.
It's the ring.
And too soon. And apparently, you know, LeBron and others in the Miami Heat, you know, they don't really care about that. Right. At least for Wayne.
Yep.
Wayne had the story where he, you know, the Heat had gotten him banned from every NBA arena, which is ridiculously false.
Right.
NBA came out today and said, nope, not true.
Funny they even had to respond to that.
He's Lil Wayne.
Why would you go? Did he go to like the where the Timberwolves play and try to get in a game or something? Did he go to the Toronto Raptors game or something? Like, man, get out of here.
Can you just imagine like Lil Wayne walking away from the Target Center in Minneapolis, like with a frown on his face, like sort of like kicking up some snow as he goes along, just all sad.
Oh, snap.
That's
corny.
Me? Yeah, definitely. I'm not corny.
No, I mean, no, that's corny, like the idea of people thinking, or the idea of even insinuating that, you know, the NBA cares about you that much. You've caused that much of a ruckus.
Well, because what happens, like, he'll go to teams and be like, yeah, give me some courtside seats.
Yeah.
And apparently he just expects to get them.
Right.
All the time. No matter what. But anyway, you know, he was probably on some combination of substances, illegal and legal.
Sure.
And got up and, you know, ran his mouth, you know, saying F the NBA. And then, you know, just to make sure that TMZ and all them got involved, says he got real familiar with Chris Bosh's wife. Extra familiar.
Yeah, I've actually heard, you know, a little bit of intel on that.
Uh-oh. We got the TMZ exclusive going on.
Dun,
here.
Dun, dun, dun. Well, for one, Cameron, of course, you know, because we all follow Killer on Instagram.
No.
he Instagrammed a picture of his old bodyguard, British the Titan, and Chris Bosh's wife at the time when she was single, and he was like, you know, my man already tore that down, that she was a known, you know, she got around in the industry before she met Chris. And then there's a song. Does anybody remember when Gilly the Kid was putting out Lil Wayne disses like every other, like every 3 days?
Yeah.
He had one called Frontin' Like My Daddy, where he right.
I forgot about Stunting Like My Daddy.
Yeah.
The heck he admitted.
I don't know. A lot of people like that, like Father Like Son album.
Y'all know that they're not really father and son. Like, that's creepy.
That's very creepy.
Like, I mean, you know, come on, man.
That's very creepy. I understand, you know, Big Brother.
There's some daddy issues there.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Anyway, Like My Daddy.
At the end of the song, he insinuates that there is a woman who told Wayne a sob story about him having cancer, and he ended up cutting her a check for $10,000, come to find out she didn't have cancer. Well, guess who the woman was? There you go. So, but that's just, you know, that's just speculation, blah, blah, blah. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, you know, it doesn't take away from the fact of you file this under the why is this news category. Like,
yeah, Chris Bosh gets a lot of heat from every, no pun intended.
No pun intended.
From everybody.
Yeah,
right?
It does. It's not, and a lot of it's not even funny. It's just like, all right, okay.
It's just, yeah. So it's funny, like when I heard it, I didn't know anything about it. I just assumed, you know, it's Chris Bosh. Like, of course he's going to take shots at him.
Exactly. Like, he's, you know, he's like he's an easy target.
Yeah, he's, you know, he's like the, I'm trying to think what rapper he's comparable to. He's
South Star?
He's like the Wale.
Did you see that video?
Yeah, that's why I brought that up.
Oh, man.
You want to talk about the Wale thing real quick?
I didn't see the video. I heard like play by play of it. I didn't see it because I'm tired of seeing Wale react to stuff. But actually, yeah, let's talk about that, because I want to make a point about people and how they treat celebrities, and especially
in this movie. It all ties in with this Wayne thing.
Yeah, it does.
All right.
So what happened with this Wale thing?
So Wale was seen. Actually, I need to get the whole story. I don't know why Wale was talking to. Was it Rudy Gay?
Yeah, because he was in Toronto.
Yep.
And it was a Raptors Wizards game.
Yep.
And Wale and Rudy Gay, I guess, are friends. But of course, because he's from D.C., Wale was, you know, running off at the mouth to Rudy Gay. So they were just having like a little friendly banter.
Well, Rudy Gay is from that area.
He's from Toronto?
I think no. He's from Maryland, I think. Maryland, D.C. area.
Okay.
That's probably how they know each other.
Yeah, okay.
UConn used to do a ton of scouting. We had a ton of players from that area.
Okay. So the announcers ended up taking it serious. They really thought that, you know, Wale was really upset with Rudy Gay, and they just went in on him, right?
Yeah, a little bit. But the kicker was, it was the announcers on TV who were like, I think it was TV announcers. I'm assuming it was TV because nobody cares about radio announcers. TV announcers who basically, noted that, you know, Rudy Gay was talking to somebody, and they're like, you know, whoever he is, he's no Drake or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, Wale didn't appreciate that. He's like, he's saying stuff about him on Twitter, but then he just goes up to the guy and starts yelling at him.
Yeah.
It's a stupid non-story, but it sort of ties in with the thing with Wayne and sort of how, not even just celebrities, but maybe just I guess I'll say celebrities, but in this case, we got examples of two rappers who sort of feel entitled to a certain level of fame.
Yeah.
And you were going to make a point about that?
Well, I think my point is more so towards the audience as opposed to the celebrities. We've long talked about how Twitter does more harm than good to a lot of artists, a lot of, you know, select figures. And Wale's definitely one of those people. He's not, you know, exactly like a Chris Brown or somebody like that. But, you know, for his position, he's pretty high up there in the please get off Twitter category. But, you know, the thing that I don't like is that there are people, especially in this age of social media where, you know, people are so accessible. The mystique of the celebrity is gone, and people take advantage of that. It's almost like the gates are down and you just kind of run through, and there's really no purpose to it, just to say, oh, hey, I said something really, you know, evil and cruel to Wale, and he responded and he got upset. I don't know why celebrities are suddenly immune to stuff, because they say, oh, well, you know, he's got money, so he shouldn't have to worry about what I have to say. But I don't care if it's payday. If you say something that I don't like, I'm going to feel a certain way about it, and I'm probably going to respond to it. So I just don't understand, one, why people purposely poke the stick at the lying dog or the lying wolf. And when the wolf jumps up and tries to bite him, they get mad at the wolf. Like that's instinct. Somebody says something to you disrespectful, then of course you're gonna want to respond. Like, I just don't get why that suddenly he's a bad person because he responded to somebody something negative that somebody said about him. Like, people get mad when one person is in your business. So imagine if you have the entire world's eyes on you, or, you know, a large chunk of people, their eyes are on you 24/7. And anytime you say something and anytime you do something, there's hundreds of thousands of people responding to it and waiting and looking for something to, you know, to pick at. And I'm certain that he and a lot of other celebrities are tired of it. Like, you don't, nobody who in a good chunk of people want to be celebrities. Like, that's just in our nature to want to be in the spotlight. Like,
that could be a whole other episode of Collaborative Speakers.
It totally could. Okay, well then I'll
No. Keep going.
Keep going, son. Keep going. So all of you
keep
know,
keep going, Ace.
No. Keep going. He's only 16. A large chunk of us want to be celebrities. A large chunk of us want to be in the spotlight. But when we think about being in the spotlight, we only think of one side, and we don't even consider the other side. We think of fame, fortune, money, opportunities, influence, things like that. But you don't think of backlash, slander. You can't speak your mind. Your ability and your right to freedom of speech gets taken away. You can't say certain things, like, you know, nobody considers that. You know, you can't wear certain things because, you know, people are going to talk about everything, even down to what type of socks you have on. Like, that level of attention that people pay to public figures is frightening. And I don't blame Wale. And I think Wale comes off as very insecure. But on the flip side of it, I don't blame him if somebody's on TV talking about me, that you go up to him after the game and say, well, say what you were saying on the TV show. You can crack jokes now, crack jokes now. Like, you crack jokes there, crack them now. Like, what's up? So I don't know, man. I don't get it, man. Our country, our mentality of our culture is very flawed. It sucks. It sucks. So I feel bad for a lot of public figures. But then on the flip side, a lot of them do it to themselves.
I don't feel bad for Wale.
Why not? Because you don't like his music?
No, I actually think he makes our music. No, in this case, like, what do you have to gain by going up and trying to act like a tough guy? Nothing. You've got nothing to gain. Right? Like, just, you know, you could say some, you know, if you're going to say something, just be like witty about it and keep it moving. Like, it mattered to him. Like, it clearly mattered to him that people knew who he was. I don't think he was necessarily offended that it was like, oh, this guy is no Drake or whatever. I think the fact is the guy didn't know, oh, this is Wale.
Hmm.
Right? I mean, you talk about all those things that people want, but, like, you know, whether it's money or fame or whatever, what they want is respect.
Yeah.
Right? And just because you're successful doesn't mean, like, you might be successful, but I feel like a lot of people, if they're successful, then they're just insecure about respect.
Sure.
Right? That's how it came across to me.
I got you.
Because the thing is, like, if you're going to be that accessible, and if you're going to, like, you know, again, it's like what you're saying, like, the downfall, the flip side of being connected so quickly in social media is that, and cameras everywhere, and, you know, nothing goes unrecorded. Like, if you go and do something, just like, if you're just going to be flip about something real quick and go respond in an emotional way, well, someone's going to get that too.
Yep.
You can't have it both ways, I guess.
I agree.
But that's a whole other thing. Before we talk more NBA, because we want to talk about All-Star Weekend, we can talk about some music, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about your man, French Montana.
Stench Montana.
And your girl, Nicki Minaj.
Dang, this PS4 is huge, dude.
They got pictures now?
Yeah.
All right, we jumping in. Hold on. Who's got pictures?
I just saw it. Hold on.
We've derailed this episode of Black Radio Speakers.
Man, that's crazy.
I'm looking. It's big.
It's huge. It looks it looks smaller than the original PS3, but it looks,
I mean, that's the PS3 that I have, so, you know, I don't know. That seems okay.
Yeah, that's a big joint, man.
Yeah, that PS3 is just gigantic.
It's huge.
All right, let's
come back.
Let's revisit this end of the show. So, French Montani.
Joe Bouton and French Montani. Welcome to the club, French.
Joe Bouton is funny.
That was hilarious.
The best part is, even after I corrected my wife, she just kept saying Joe Bouton.
Where did she get Bouton from?
I don't know. Because she was just like, who's this Joe Bouton guy you're talking about? Because she listens to the podcast. Like, she'll catch up in, like, spurts.
Yeah.
And she's like, and, you know, and sometimes I have to explain, like, references or inside jokes that we have or whatever.
Yep.
Because, you know, she didn't exactly grow up on hip hop, and she's not obsessed with it like we are.
Sure.
I just thought it was real fun. Joe, you know, we had first, you know, it was Joe Buttons. Remember the struggle back in the day of the extra
Joe
S?
Joe Buttons. Then it was the Joe Buttons with the 3 D's. Do you remember that?
I don't.
When Padded, I think it was Padded Room came out.
Yeah.
Amalgam pressed up, the first pressing of Amalgam had Joe on the side of the CD or whatever, had Joe Buddd.
Then we had, you know, Joe Burden, Joe Biden, Joe Bouton,
Joe Biden over all over my Biden.
Oh God,
LSG. Oh, get it, because instead of LSD.
Speaking of supposed R&B supergroups, let's come back to that later. I saw you talk about a supergroup on Twitter today. French Montani and Nicki Minaj. So French had popped that last year.
Yep.
did really well.
Did really well. Shot Caller was cool. Pop That blew up.
But they weren't ready.
I don't know why.
Well, let's pretend that mixtape that he came out last year, like, let's say he had most of that lying around and maybe one of the two of the tracks that makes the album. Is it, you know, why not just throw that out there with Pop That and just see what you can get? I mean, I realize me of all people saying just throw an album out there, but let me be 100% honest. Like, I really hope that Diddy isn't sitting there looking at French Montana, like, trying to get a classic out of him.
Right.
Right. Like, I mean, you got to know what you've got there.
Yeah.
But, you know, they had Pop that did really well. And then they sort of let that go for a little while. Then they tried to have Marble Floors.
Nope.
That didn't go anywhere. Even though I like that beat, but it's just not really appropriate for a single.
Yeah, it was an album record.
Yeah. And then, if that's the record that comes out on Rap Radar, like 5 days before the album comes out.
Right.
You're all right. That's sad. That's another category of leak, like the 5 days before Rap Radar leak.
That's the day the album leaks online.
That's right. Leak. What's the leak official? Record. What was the one that did it for Ross? Was it Dice Pineapples or was it Pirates? Or maybe it was Three. No, Three Kings was earlier.
Three Kings was early. 16.
16.
Yeah, 16 leaked the day that the album leaked.
And
Dice Pineapples. Dice Pineapples leaked before the whole album leaked because they started leaking songs.
Yeah. So French finally has a single.
Excuse me, yes.
French, Nicki Minaj. It's called Freaks.
Freaks.
Produced by Rico Love. Yep. Not surprising if you heard what he did on T.I.'s album.
Yeah.
This sounds like a hybrid of Ball and Pop That.
It's very it's in that French Montana wheelhouse though, because the samples on the record are those are like 90s New York reggae records.
That's right.
So
how do you feel about this?
I don't like it. I don't like it, but it's been getting a good response.
And when I think about, you know, if I get all depressed and like hypothetically think about like French Montana singles that could be bad, you could go to some bad places. Like that could go really, really poorly, really quickly. This is okay. This is about what I'd expect from French. I think it works. It's exactly the kind of sample that you know, Nicki's the right artist for that. I think the video will probably, you know, do well for that. This is a spring break joint. It's good timing.
Mm.
Right? Spring break's coming up in like, you know, 3-4 weeks. So I wouldn't be surprised if this does pretty well. And there's a vacuum right now. Like, who's got a big single out right now?
Right. Good point.
That's why they need to, I don't know. What is Kendrick doing with Poetic Justice? Can anybody tell me?
Somebody from MTV just tweeted that they saw the video, so it's coming.
I mean, I know maybe timing isn't great and all, but wouldn't you want to have that video ready to go on Valentine's Day?
You know what? There was a lot of struggle on Valentine's Day. I will never release another project on Valentine's Day ever again.
What project did you release on Valentine's Day?
Haviland Savage and Nina Mosley both.
No, I was playing dumb. Please go check those out on armywakeup.com. I'm trying to give you the alley. That was like an alley from the All-Star game. We're gonna talk about missed alleys everywhere. Every year. Do you think this is the right single, whether or not you like it, like objectively, like is this the right move for French?
I'm not mad at it.
Okay.
You know, I mean, he even got Nicki to, you know, tweet pictures of her in a thong like to push the single. So I mean, I think that it I'm not mad at it. Like I get it. You know what I'm saying? Like I think French kind of has to stay. It doesn't feel like a Nicki Minaj record. It feels like a French Montana record that he got a verse from Nicki from, as opposed to other artists who, you know, all right, I need to make a record that sounds just like a Rick, then get Rick Ross on it.
Hmm.
So I'm not mad at it from a from a you know, Sonic standpoint or whatever, whatever, despite what I feel about it personally, I get it.
Here's what Diddy needs to do. Whatever promo money he wants to throw towards French's project, he has to convince the American Idol people. Has to.
Huh?
Because Nikki's a host on American Idol.
Right.
So you got the look right there. Pay those people whatever you have to get French Montana performing on American Idol.
Listen.
American Idol ratings aren't what they used to be, but it's still American Idol.
No, my thing is
I mean, I just think that'd be hysterical for starters, but
I was going to say, can you really imagine?
I just
can you imagine Ryan Seacrest saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, French Montana," and he comes out with like a giant bear skin thing on his head. Lil Poopy comes out. Have you heard Lil Poopy's mixtape? You need to.
No, I can't. I just can't. I have self-respect. I'm good. It's Lil Poopy. There's a level.
Oh.
Although, you know what? Actually, I'm being hypocritical. I did once listen to Shorty Ishtane.
Huh?
Remember Shorty Ishtane?
No.
You don't remember Shorty?
I mean, I remember. I know. I've heard like the name because, you know.
ODB's old records. It's tough.
Oh.
Struggle. Anyway. No, you know, I don't know. Well, you know. Maybe they pitch it as Nicki Minaj and French Montana. I don't know. Let me tell you, every year they let like basically those judges, they can go perform whatever they want if they have a single. Yeah. They don't care. So maybe Diddy just, you know, pays Nicki whatever. Like how much go cash in your chip right now, right?
Does Nicki still work with Puff? Because remember he managed her.
I feel like Puff has worked with everybody at some point.
Right.
All right.
What do you think about the song? Did you already answer that?
I think it, well, I mean, I called it a hybrid of Pop That and Ball. So, you know, I liked Pop That minus French.
Right.
I didn't like Ball. This is sort of in between. I think it works, though. I'm not French Montana's audience.
Right.
Religious style. I don't, you know, the producer who's, you know, obviously going to be his go-to for the album cuts, right? Harry Fraud.
Right.
Typically, like, a rapper like French, I might be able to talk myself and say, oh, you know, well, I'm going to like the album cuts. I don't really like Harry Fraud that much. I'm not the target consumer here. But I think it's successful for what it tries to be. I'm trying to be nice about it.
Objective.
It's meant to play in the clubs. That's all it is.
Yep.
It's a different. Well, what's kind of interesting though. I mean, this is, you know, we're starting to get, you know, hip hop songs that are really amping up the tempos now.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Let's talk about a. We got some more. We still got more music to talk about. I'm glad I didn't think this episode was gonna go that long, but we still got a little ways to go. Let's talk about your man 50 Cent real quick.
What happened with 50?
You hear this song with Kendrick?
Nah, I didn't.
People getting a little excited. I don't know why.
Does it sound like every other 50 Cent song that he's put out in the last 2 years?
He has an amazing ability to find beats that are good but generic. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah.
It's like I can't point to any of his beats that really, I'm serious. I don't know if I can point to any of his beats he's rapped over the past 5 years and go, wow, that was a really whack beat. But I don't know how many I could point to and go, wow, that's a great song. He has spent 5 years living in the many levels of eh.
Yeah. I like the Big Ten. Big Ten had a few joints.
But then he had to throw, like, you know, all of his artists on it, right? Is that the right
one? Yeah. Like, yep. Yep.
But Kendrick's verse is dope on that. And they made the mistake of putting Kid last, which means if radio plays this at all, it's going to turn into 50 and Kendrick.
Kendrick.
It's meant to be on Kid Kid's mixtape, apparently.
What?
Yeah, supposedly.
50's gonna steal that for his album.
Probably.
Based off of the response to the tape.
Yeah, people like it. All right, but if you haven't heard it, we'll keep it moving. I know you've heard your man Tarius Nash. We talked about this last week.
Yeah, man.
Uh-oh. You're like you're like the parent right now when you're not happy with the kid. That's your son.
That's your son.
We knew that there was a song coming. Turns out it's The Dream featuring Fab with Slow It Down.
Yep.
How do you feel about the song?
I don't. I feel like this is a really negative episode, yo.
What are you talking about?
I mean, I just feel like, you know, everything that we're talking about, like, I don't really like.
Isn't this really just Mr. Yeah part two?
Don't disrespect Mr. Yeah like that.
I went back, as soon as I heard this, I went back and I listened to Mr. Yeah again and I was like, you know, I was in my happy place. Pause.
Right.
Mr. Yeah is incredible. This is like Mr. Yeah Jr. That's disrespecting Mr. Yeah. You're right. He has certain sounds at this point.
Yeah.
Right. He goes to the Prince lane. He goes to the, I'm going to have the, you know, the piano chords up and, you know, do my whole little thing, whether it's Mr. Yeah or whether it's, you know, Shawty, Shawty's the ish, you know, whatever. He's got certain like types of sounds, right?
Right.
My beef isn't that he's mimicking his sounds, because honestly, he's been doing it for a little while. Yeah. It seems as though, and maybe it's just in these songs that's leaked out, it seems as though he sort of changed up how he does his songwriting.
How do you say that?
He has songs full of like extra bridges and hooks.
Uh-huh.
Right? That's why he had these like incredible epic outros and transitions. Like Mr. Yeah is a great example. Like he just keeps going and keeps like pulling new hooks and bridges out of thin air. Mm-hmm. And some of those at the end would have been dope as full featured songs.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that? Where has that guy gone? Is it just because these are singles that he's trying to leak out?
I don't know.
Because I didn't really get that vibe from him off the 1977 mixtape either. Right? Like in terms of like it wasn't like songs were like, I mean, example, right? Like we talked about this last week, like that Justin Timberlake song Mirrors. Like that's I like that song, but that extended outro really goes, and I'm not sure why it goes sometimes. Goes a little too long, right? But on those Dream joints that we all love and cherish, he's going, but it's not just like the music is playing out or doing, like the song is just evolving and he's like pulling, you know, again, pulling hooks and bridges out of thin air. And it's great. You don't hear too much of that. You never heard much of that, but that seems to be, you know, that seems to go away. And I just haven't heard that from him in a little while. I don't know. That's what's really got me concerned, frankly.
He said, I'm concerned.
I'm concerned. Like I don't know. I don't know what's going on. So you just don't like this, or you're sort of
Matt,
like,
it's just, yeah, I mean, it's very much, it's just very, like, it feels like I heard it before. So for you to compare it to Mr. Yeah, just confirms that, like, I've heard this before.
Mm.
So I'm cool. I know it talked about expectations, but earlier where, I mean, I don't expect Terrius to do this. I don't expect him to do this. I expect him to be progressive.
Mm.
I don't know what I'm going to get, but I expect him to be progressive.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I don't know. Has he, you know, the only nod to sort of his sound changing at all is he adopted the really fast repeating hi-hat. That is, I'm not describing it well, but you all know exactly what it sounds like. It is rampant in hip hop music these days, thanks to that first Self-Made album. And he throws that in here, but otherwise this Dream track could have come from 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I agree.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. It's almost like, I mean, it's funny that Fab's on this. It's almost like it's like him acknowledging, yeah, I messed up on Dope Chick. So let me try again.
Look at that. Good point.
Mm. Let's see what else we can talk about. You see the suit and tie video?
I did see the suit and tie video.
What'd you think?
Nice.
You think he's gonna, how long do you think before he's sick of wearing tuxedos?
Oh my god. Probably now.
I'll give him credit. You want to talk about like sticking to a brand and like a look.
Yeah.
Like he's clearly going for this look. He will not deviate. They must have like just racks full of like tuxes made by the same designer in this, like the same size, like they are committed to this look and feel.
Racks on racks on racks.
Racks on racks on racks. The other thing I'll say is, you know, there's always been, I mean, obviously, because Timberlake comes from a certain era, there's always been a lot of Michael Jackson influence. Yeah. But in that second verse, when, like, there's, like, doing a little dancing or whatever, he's just straight up jacking MJ. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, it was bad. But yeah, you know, I'm still, the song is cool. I'm still not crazy about it.
Crazy about it.
You know, it sounds like a, still, I think it sounds like a rich man's Robin Thicke.
Rich man.
Let's see, we talked about the Juicy J Weekend joint real quick. Oh, let's talk about this Tyler video.
Yeah.
Is this your man, Tyler? It's not my man.
Nobody's man. I think the reason why we're gonna talk about this video and talk about Tyler the Creator is because we've had several Frank Ocean conversations on this show.
That's true.
And one of the conversations that we had was that when Odd Future first came out, it was all about Tyler. Tyler. All of a sudden, Frank comes through and crushes the buildings. Like,
yeah,
you know, Tyler really didn't follow up the, what was that video where he ate the roach? What was the name of that video? You remember that?
Oh, Yonkers?
Yonkers. He didn't really follow up the video well as he could have, I'll say, because he's developed a nice, solid fan base. He's about to go on tour. He's dropping an album. Excuse me. He's dropping an album. So in some respects, he did things right. But for the level of press that he was getting, I thought that, you know, he was really going to like blow up. But he didn't necessarily do that. And then Frank came and just totally, you know, wiped the floor with his buzz. So, you know, when he announced that he was doing a new album, he was dropping a song at, you know, 9 o'clock, dropping a video. All of a sudden, like he's back in the game, essentially. Like people are like, yes, Tyler. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think you and I are necessarily Odd Future fans, right?
Nah, I wouldn't say that. Yeah, not really.
I've heard a couple of I will acknowledge that he definitely is a huge Pharrell fan. He'll tell you that he's a Pharrell stan. And if you listen to some of his older records, like they just sound like Neptune's knockoffs, which is not at all a knock on them, because I mean a Neptune's knockoff is still, you know, it's a Neptune's beat.
So the song is called Domo 23, is that right?
I don't know if it's Damo or Domo, I don't know.
I always say Domo.
Like Origato?
Exactly. You know, the song itself is all right.
Yeah.
There's a song that plays at the end. Do we know the title of the song?
It's called Beamer, but it's spelled B-I-M-M-E-R.
Yeah, like, Zim Zimma.
Yep.
Shout out to Beanie Man. yeah, so that record with, clearly that's Frank Ocean singing on it.
Yep.
You know what it reminded me of?
What's that?
Reminded me of Ghost's Child's Play a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, it gave me that kind of feel.
Interesting.
Which is a good thing. I love that song.
You love a Ghostface Killah song? No.
Listen. No. I may or may not have been listening to my Wu-Tang Romance playlist on Spotify last week. That's why it might have popped in my head. I'm just saying.
Side note before we finish this Frank Ocean conversation. You heard that Ghost officially announced Supreme Clientele 2, correct? And he's doing an LP with Doom.
Well, that's just the same LP that they've been talking about for, I don't know, a decade?
Yeah. Right.
Wait, hold up. I need to Google this right now. Supreme Clientele.
What's today? Today's Wednesday? Yeah, I think that was Monday.
Ghostface says Supreme Clientele 2 is dropping this summer. Hopefully.
Which means, if he said hopefully, that means it's not dropping.
Oh, it's called Blue and Cream. Supreme Clientele 2, Blue and Cream.
Oh, because you dyed a color. Yeah.
Man, don't tease me.
That's funny. Anyway.
Yeah, they're talking a Wu-Tang reunion album.
I'm good.
RZA wants to stray away from sample-based sounds and bring in real musicians.
Oh, God.
Which means we're going to get a lot of stuff that sounds like these awful records that he keeps dropping on soundtracks. Listen, I love Quentin Tarantino movies, but he needs to stop giving these terrible records some shine. Like, Kill Bill had a dope soundtrack.
Uh-huh.
Except for when, like, because there's many eras of RZA, right?
Right.
You had original Wu-Tang RZA, then you had, like, he had a couple different sounds in the 90s, then you had sort of, like, you know, he got on his keyboard-ish a little bit.
Yeah.
Soundtrack RZA is like, it's like Bobby Digital with more money, but less inspiration.
Digital.
The OBBY. Bong bong.
Bong bong.
So, yeah, I don't know, man. Talk about no expectations. I have this is crazy to say. Here we are, 20 years ago, 36 Chambers came out. I have zero expectations for a new Wu-Tang album.
Yeah.
8 Diagrams killed everything for me.
Yeah.
I'm cool. I'm really cool. Like, I'm more than happy to listen to the Wu-Tang back catalog till the end of time. I'm really good. All right. So Tyler, we were talking.
Yes, Tyler.
Yeah, that record is. Here's what I don't get. Like, so you're Tyler. you sort of have to reintroduce yourself now.
Somewhat.
But you have a new weapon.
You have Frank Ocean.
You have Frank Ocean now.
Yeah.
So, to me, putting that song at the end of that video only makes sense if he's approaching this in like a late 90s, early 2000s way, where you tease the next single by putting it at the end of your first video.
That's exactly what he's doing.
All right. Well, if that's the case, then that's a smart move.
Yeah.
Because that sounded good.
Yeah. It's dope. I drown him out once the chord switches.
Oh, that, yeah.
That chord switch and Frank's just starts going in. I'm like, yo, that's crazy. But yeah, I agree.
All right. Is that all we got for music before we talk NBA?
You mean Joe Budden, French Montana, Wiz Khalifa never broke again? Or are you talking about the National Basketball Association?
National Basketball Association. How many times do you think that record got played during All-Star Weekend?
Zero. Well, he's got June. They're shooting a video right now, but you know he's got playoff time. You know, you could potentially.
I'm pretty sure TNT's not going to run that song behind like clips. They're going to grab some terrible rock band.
Or they're going to grab Macklemore. They just did for All Star Weekend.
Oh, Macklemore, yeah.
He's safe.
Why is he safe, Armand?
I mean, his content is very safe. He raps about thrift shops. And his dream of Seattle Mariners announcers. Like, that's what he raps about. You thought I was gonna say cause he's white, didn't you?
Yep. That's what you wanted to say. Don't lie to me.
Don't you lie to me.
One of these days you're gonna slip, you're gonna be like, yeah, it's cause he's a honky.
Yeah. Oh man, see, I can't say it'll be like the high school high, the record is just skipped.
Yo, High School High.
Be Rhinestone Cowboy all over again.
I forgot about High School High.
How you forget about High School High, dude?
It
had Blue Wear on it.
I don't forget the soundtrack. I just, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
I forgot a John Lovitz movie. Surprise.
Wasn't Tia Carrera in that too?
She was in that.
Yeah, that was after Wayne's World, Tia Carrera. Woo!
Yeah, this was
post Wayne's World, obviously.
Washed Tia Carrera. She was washed at this point.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, if she was out now, like instead of doing that movie, she would have just done a reality show.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk All Star Weekend a little bit.
Okay.
How much did you watch?
I saw the tail end of the rookie sophomore game.
Yep.
So I saw Kyrie cross your man up.
My man.
I don't remember his name, so he's just your man. Cross buddy up. I missed the celebrity game. Missed All-Star. I saw all of All-Star Saturday. I DVR'd that, and I saw some of the actual game.
Okay.
I saw about half of it, like, off and on. So, I mean, you know. What'd you see?
I saw highlights of the rookie sophomore game. I saw the dunk contest. And I saw parts of the actual game.
Okay.
So
we're about even.
We're about even.
Okay.
They really need to redo All-Star Weekend. They need to re-examine All-Star Weekend.
They say this, like, people say this every weekend, dude.
Like, what, you know what? When the announcers are, like, openly mocking how poorly run All-Star Saturday Night inevitably turns out to be every year, you got a problem. This is the marquee event for one of the major sports in the world.
But I love when they just sit there and they slander stuff. I think that's the greatest.
It's funny, but what's not funny, like if you're looking at this from like an NBA point of view, is that All-Star Saturday Night inevitably just dissolves into this mess.
Sure.
And yeah, if you're gonna have a mess, then yeah, I want someone being funny about it. But that's really stretching to look for a silver lining.
Yeah.
I like the idea of the rookie sophomore game, but why haven't they made it so that if you're MVP of the rookie sophomore game, you get into the All-Star game? Wouldn't that make that game a lot more interesting?
Yeah. I mean, the final score was what, like 168 to like 135 or something?
Yeah.
Charles Barkley didn't even show up to coach the team.
This is what I'm talking about. They treat it like a joke. Like, you know what it is? Maybe it's because we don't have Rock and Jock anymore. Like, you can have, I'm not saying it's got to be all like, you know, stuffy or whatever, but I feel like All-Star Weekend, especially Saturday night, sort of starts to feel a little bit like Rock and Jock to me. And look, I love Rock and Jock.
Sure.
But, you know, maybe it might be interesting to see if they tried kind of trying to take this seriously.
But we kind of knew what we were getting with Rock and Jock.
I always wanted to play a game where they brought out the extra high rim.
The 25-pointer.
Oh, 25-pointer.
Shout out to Oliver Miller.
Oliver Miller. That man was so chubby.
Oh, man. He was washed.
Rock and Jock. These kids don't know about Rock and Jock, man.
Not at all. Even baseball was dope.
Oh, of course it was.
King Griffey on there, like
David Justice in his prime.
Oh man, David Justice. My goodness. If you don't know by now, if you're younger, if you were born, I don't know, what year do you have to be born in to not appreciate the 90s? Like 88? 88 or later?
Yeah, probably.
If you don't know by now, the 90s is the greatest era for everything ever. Ever.
That's
music,
a
television, everything.
That's close to being accurate. Yeah, I'd say that's about right. Especially if you're talking to me and Armand. But right. Yeah. I'm gonna talk about the dunk contest in a second, because I wanna hear your opinion on it.
Okay.
For me, the biggest takeaway from everything leading up to the dunk contest is that Kyrie Irving, he's really the next dude.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I've been telling y'all that all year. I get to watch all the Cleveland games here because they show them locally. And Kyrie is disgusting. This is not a, you know, once in a blue moon thing or every once in a while. He does this consistently.
You see your man LeBron is like his biggest fan.
Yeah.
Does that make the Cavs fans like angry, hopeful? Like what's the...
I think at this point, a lot of the LeBron hate here has died down a lot. It's died down a lot. I mean, of course you've got you're going to always have your people who feel a certain way about him, but it has died down a lot.
You know, people are a lot of speculation. He might want to come back home.
Right. I think his contract is up in what, 2015? I think he's got
2014 or 2015. He has an out. Okay. Yeah, because I think what is it? I think the Lakers, they're not committing to any contracts after whatever year he has the out, because they're
going to try and get him.
Of course.
I mean, come on, you look at how they're doing this whole Dwight situation. Like, there's just certain markets that you don't want to go to.
Look, Do you want to talk about that now, or you want to wait and talk about Dwight?
We can wait. We can wait and talk Dwight and the Lakers and all that stuff. We can wait.
All right, we'll get there. But no, you know, Kyrie Irving. I will admit, like when he first of all, I don't like Duke.
Does
yeah, it's tough, man. You know, and he got hurt in college. He didn't have a large body of work, so
yeah.
I forget who was the number two pick that year, but oh, you know what it was?
Was it Derek? Was it Derek Williams?
Yeah, it was. It was because everybody thought Derek Williams was going to be good,
and they just traded him. I think
wouldn't surprise me. I think the point was it was because Cleveland had two picks.
Yeah,
you know, so the thought was that they take Derek Williams, they can grab a point later on.
Yeah.
I think people thought Derek Williams was going to be better than he turned out to be. Yeah. Although he's still young, he's got time.
Yeah, he's just in the wrong system. So
that's true. I'm
not, the verdict is not out.
But it turns out that the gap between Kyrie Irving and the other point guards in that class is crazy.
Gaping.
I think the second point guard taken was Kemba, right?
Yeah.
And look, obviously, I'm a huge Kemba Walker fan, right? I have 1,000 pieces of UConn gear in my closet. I think Kemba Walker, I think he's actually having a pretty good, I think he's having a much better second year. I think almost despite, you know, Michael's best intentions, I feel like they're trying to do the right thing in Charlotte. They're just not executing right.
Yeah. They've got a little ways to go.
They got a little ways to go. But I feel like they're maybe finally trying to do the right thing. But we've heard this, you know, they've been a constant rebuilding project, right? So people don't take it seriously.
Yeah.
But I feel like Kemba in the right situation, you know. Anyway. Yep. So obviously Kyrie really impressed me. And did you have any other takeaways from the from everything up leading up to the dunk contest?
That was my first time seeing Damian Lillard. I just saw him in the skills challenge. I actually enjoy the one joint where it's like the NBA player, the WNBA player, and the legend.
Oh man, come on.
I actually enjoy watching them shoot half court shots. Seeing Brooke Lopez like shoot half court shots like he's shooting a free throw.
Here's the thing, like the reason why that's sort of almost like a tease in a way is NBA players are known missing the half court shot because they all bet on it mm-hmm. when they're in practice. Mm-hmm. It'd be a lot more entertaining. I think. Well, in general, I feel like All Star Weekend could be just a lot more entertaining if some sponsor ponied up and put like big money down for the winner. Because then you might see some of these stars getting off their butts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, like I, you know, if it was like the Sprite half court contest, winner gets $1 million.
Am I the only one who liked horse?
You need the big name players.
They had Durant
when he was like his second year. He was the only guy, and it was kind of weird. Horse really works when you don't have players who can dunk, because then you just end up doing these crazy, like. Well, actually, it depends. Like, when you play horse growing up, were you allowed to, could you do layups?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, there was a stigma against that.
Well, if the person dunked, that was one of the things that you announced in the beginning. Like, all right, I'm going to dunk, because not everybody could dunk. So you wouldn't do a dunk if nobody else on the court could dunk.
Yeah.
Or you would say, all right, we'll do that, but then just lay it up. So that was like a prerequisite. Like it was predetermined before then. So,
but it feels weird to have NBA players playing horse where they're not dunking.
Because
that would get interesting.
Man, y'all put a lot of emphasis on these dunks, B. Y'all put a lot of emphasis on dunks.
No. I'm gonna trash the dunk contest in a minute. But like,
I'm gonna defend the dunk contest.
Oh God. It'd be a lot more entertaining if it was, you know, sort of like, all right, well, I just did this dunk. Now, can you do it? Because then you'd have different strategies.
Sure.
Right. I don't know. I feel like horse is a solid concept. They tried it once and it didn't work out. And you know,
I thought they did it twice. They only did it once.
I only remember once. Maybe I just blacked out during the second year. Okay. All right. Look, you want to talk about the dunk contest?
Yeah.
You're going to defend it.
I'm going to defend. I'm going to defend aspects of it.
Okay.
Other parts about it I don't like, and I'll probably agree with you with, but other parts I think people are way too hard on.
All right, what do you like about it?
I like the fact that the young players are in it. People okay. want LeBron and people want Blake Griffin. I do think that Blake Griffin should have came back and defended his title. I don't think if you do one and you win, I think you have to come back the next year and you have to defend your title.
Here's my only counter to that. If you have a dunk contest where it's only person and you have fans voting, that doesn't work.
Get rid of the fans voting.
Okay, well, we'll get
how that. How quick was that tally?
What are you talking about?
When they did the final vote, like yeah. they were like, yeah, do the, you know, hashtag da 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 da, send your text to this number.
Yeah.
It took like 2 minutes and they had already tallied the vote.
Well, yeah, what do you think? What do you think? They're counting on an abacus? It's automatic. This is 2013. I'd be disappointed if they couldn't. They know immediately. They probably got it. They got a monitor up in the control room watching bar graphs of the vote coming in real time.
You said an abacus. I'm done. I'm totally done for the day.
Like, of course they calculated it instantaneously. We live in the future, man.
I don't know, man. All
right.
I get rid of the fan vote.
All right. So we go.
Get rid of the fan.
I would say. If the fan vote at the end could be like the final, I wouldn't say it's a yes or no, but I think it'd be interesting for like if you could structure it in a way where there was one final dunk and sure. the fan vote represented the last like card that came up, like 10 or 9 or 8 or whatever it is. And it wasn't that, and you were only voting for I really like it, not this person versus that person, right? That might be interesting.
Yeah.
Right. If you had two guys where it looked like they were both going, you know, they both got 50s, if they pull it off, whatever. We're going to talk about, you know, score inflation in a second. But, you know, if you had like the lat, like just the big like thing, you waiting for the number to come in, you know, like I think that'd be cool.
Mm.
That'd be one idea to try. If you want to do fan voting, that's as far as I'll go. But just having them pick the winner.
Pfft. Yeah, that was. Yeah, I agree with that.
Right. I don't know about that.
But I like having the younger guys. Get rid of the fan vote. Get rid of Dr. J on the dunk panel. because he hates everything. you know, this is an opportunity to showcase your young talent. You know, people were pretty much betting the farm on James White. You know, he bombed, but you know, at least they gave him the opportunity. You know, I also agree with what they talked about on the show was that because they have the D-League All-Star game, the D-League winners should be able to go and dunk on the
yeah, the that see that I like that idea. It's a good idea.
I like that idea.
All right. The format's got to change though.
Define the what's the format?
I got 90 seconds to miss the same dunk 5 times.
Mm.
They've got to figure something out.
Yeah, on 2K, I can only do it once.
Not 2K.
I can only do it once on 2K. So.
They could figure, you know, I would say the max is 3 times. I think the problem is I don't think they have the people doing enough dunks. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because what happens is they don't players, you really don't do that many successful dunks if you think about it. Right?
Right.
And the problem is that coupled with the 90 second, time means that players are encouraged right off the bat when they're not warmed up or anything to do these extravagant over the top dunks that they can do up in practice.
Mm.
Right. If there were more rounds or more dunks that they had to do per round or figure out some other way, then people are going to start with dope dunks, but dunks that are achievable.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then you build. That's why, like, the best part of the dunk contest was at the end when the guys were warmed up and they could actually pull stuff off.
Right.
Right. Like, I feel like you know, when you're and the over the top, like the theatrical nature of it now, people got to like, oh, I got to do this whole thing. And it's your first dunk out of the gate.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, man, why don't you just come down and prove you can do a dunk real quick?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, maybe that's strategy and these guys don't know what they're doing, but like your objective for the first round should be don't do something stupid.
Right.
Right. Make sure you walk out of there with a 40 on the first dunk. Make sure you can get a higher score on the second dunk and you're probably okay. But, you know, I don't know. The format just feels wrong to me. Because it encouraged this, let me try this crazy over the top dunk. And then, you know, they're like running down the whole length of the court and they get tired. They're like doing suicides, basically.
Yeah.
You know? I think that kills it, just drains all the energy out.
I agree with that.
What else do you like about it?
Okay, let me see. I agree with the format. Get rid of the props.
No props. You know what?
Very limited.
Props. You know what I always liked, even though it was kind of cheesy. I always liked if they do a prop where it's like, okay, you got to do one dunk with a teammate.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Teammates. I don't consider teammates props.
Okay.
I consider props like cars.
That dunk was terrible.
That dunk was horrible.
And the worst part is, then they made it into a commercial.
Yeah, I mean, he got.
Well, you know, when Kia's paying you off to make sure Blake wins that contest, I mean.
Yeah. Oh.
Just saying. Like, come on. They had the commercial. Like, you know, Kia's a sponsor. Blake's their spokesperson. Like, come on.
Oh.
Come on. Anyway. Yeah. I always liked the teammate. You know, remember Steve Nash did the off the head to Amari.
Yep.
I don't know.
I think What's Called did a really good one. I think AI did one really good one. Iguodala did one with a teammate. I still like, even though it took him forever, Rudy Fernandez caught it. He bounced it behind the backboard, caught it, went underneath, and did, I think, like a reverse dunk or something like that. It was retarded. But I'm biased because I'm a Rudy Fernandez stan. Imagine that. But yeah, I would say, God, I mean, yeah, I think that's a pretty good foundation. Like, you know, I don't think, because what people don't understand, you know, to debunk the thing about LeBron James being in the dunk contest, he's a great in-game dunker.
That's right. He's an in-game dunker.
But I don't see him doing anything crazy.
There's no incentive for him to.
No, there's no incentive for him to do it. Just do some crazy stuff in the All-Star game, and I'm cool.
Well, let's talk about the All-Star game.
Okay.
A lot of talk afterwards, as you might expect on ESPN, which, you know, they just need something to talk about. You know, about how, you know, Kobe shut down LeBron at the end.
Right.
What's your take on that?
It's an All-Star game. You know, but then again, on one hand, obviously, it's been known that to pay attention and they start to actually like play the game with, you know, halfway through the fourth quarter. So I get that, you know. On the other hand, like, that was Kobe's finals.
That's exactly what I had written in my notes. This was Kobe's finals.
That was Kobe's finals. So that's why he went as hard as he did.
I kind of wish that NBA adopted what Major League Baseball does.
The
winning conference gets home court in the finals.
Mm.
I feel like people might start actually playing a little bit before the end of the fourth quarter.
So you want them to offer some sort of incentive?
I think it's all about incentive with these guys. I really do.
It is.
Because otherwise they're just going to chill out and have fun, and I totally get that.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I basically don't want it to be like the Pro Bowl, which is a total joke. Right?
Oh my. Something needs to be dragged into the middle of a field and blown up. It's that.
Yeah. Yeah, I want incentives. That's right. I don't mind it being a more offense, less defense, but I do want it to be more competitive.
Yeah.
Because that's why fans watch. We don't want to watch players goof off. We watch because we want to see interesting combinations of players.
right,
that you wouldn't normally see.
Yeah.
It's really interesting, right? Like, if you know, if you throw that wrinkle in, then I'm pretty sure, you know, maybe, you know, Durant starts, you know, it becomes more like Durant, you know, Durant's thinking, like, he's thinking ahead, like, well, if we can get to the finals, it would, you know, if we could get home court, like, it changes the whole, like, strategy aspect of it. Because the other thing is, at this point, I sort of feel like Kobe's, like, the old man in the pickup game who just takes it really too seriously. Like, he's trying to recreate Jordan's career so much, he tries to recreate the pathological competitiveness.
Right.
I don't know. Kobe's just kind of like, oh, come on, man. Like, just, you know, in one sense, I respect it because I wanted to be more competitive, but I agree. I think that was Kobe's finals, basically.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the Lakers real quick. You know, if you made it this far in the episode and you don't like when we talk about sports, I hope you're not a Lakers fan because I don't think this is going to be good.
Not at
all. Lakers are done, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're done.
Are they going to trade anybody?
It's not the team.
You think it's the coach?
D'Antoni, as bad as he is, he's not equipped to coach that team.
Who is?
Other than Phil, I mean, I think that's the only other, I think that's the only person that Kobe would have listened to. And even at that time, like, people don't realize that, you know, Kobe and Phil bumped heads a lot.
Yeah.
So, but then they're like, bring back Phil. But, you know, is it just going to be so him and Kobe can, you know, have a clash of the egos?
One of the problems of the Lakers, and I think people are now picking up on this, especially since his dad just died. But the guy who's in charge of the Lakers now.
Mitch, right?
No,
owner. Not Mitch.
Not Jerry Buss, but
what's his son's name?
Yeah, it's terrible.
I can't. Whatever.
Remember. Anyway, Buss Jr. is basically like James Dolan Part 2.
James Dolan or joke ruined. Dan Gilbert.
No. James Dolan, his dad made a fortune, right? And he sort of kept the family business going. It became Cablevision and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he's definitely like the spoiled rich kid who grew up who has no idea what he's doing.
Right.
Dan Gilbert is the classic example of, I made a lot of money by being a scumbag in other industries, and now I'm going to be a scumbag in the NBA. Like, that's Dan Gilbert, Mr. Comic Sans. I'm gonna parade my son around for pity points.
Oh, man.
And not let anybody call me on it. I have no sympathy for that man. That makes me a terrible human being, I'm sure. But no, like, you know, this owner, I don't think he has any idea what he's doing. And you know why Phil's not coaching?
Why?
Because Phil's dating this dude's sister.
Right.
Him and Phil don't get along. There's like family, like, it's all weird. Like, it becomes a problem when your owner, like, is a hindrance to your team. And right. I think everybody just assumes that the Lakers are going to be the Lakers forever.
Right.
I don't think this guy's capable of that. Right.
There's too much emotion involved in it.
Some people are cut out to be owners and some people aren't.
Right.
I don't think he is. Unless he gets a wake up call and figures out a way to not really care about the business, just make the money and smile for the cameras and not really get involved and everything like that. Unless that happens, I would not be stunned at all if the next couple of number of years, the Lakers looks a lot like what the Knicks went through for a while in the 2000s. I think they're due for that sort of thing. And I have no beef against the Lakers. I just think it's a, you know, this team is terribly constructed. I don't know what's going on with Nash. Well, I got a theory about that, but I'm not trying to slander anybody.
Go ahead.
Now you want to hear the theory.
Now I want to hear the theory.
How many times have you heard about this, like, famous Phoenix training staff?
Absolutely. A lot of times.
So, let me get this right. We all were suspicious of Lance Armstrong forever, right? We're suspicious of all these other athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden in the NBA, we've got this whole generation of players playing longer and staying healthier than ever before.
Mm.
I'm talking the Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Steve Nash, Kobe Bryant era. We got guys playing at an all-star level way further in their careers than anybody ever before. We've got a training staff that is is talked about like, oh, you know, if so and so signs with them, their health might get rejuvenated. Mm. And nobody is sitting there and going, I wonder if something's going on. Nobody? Well, if they're so magic, why hasn't some other teams gone to the trainers and be like, how much are they paying you? I'd like to triple it.
Mm.
Because whatever they're paying them, it can't be enough. Because apparently they're magic, right? When players go play for the Suns, whatever health problems they had mysteriously disappear.
Right.
Right? Grant Hill got a little reclamation there. They rejuvenated Shaq a little bit, as much as they could. Right. Steve Nash was playing at a high level well into his late 30s. Nobody thinks that's weird? Mm. Are we all going to look back on this in like 5-10 years on the late 90s for baseball now? Like, I'm really being serious. Like, something's kind of weird. All these old players can't be staying this healthy and this productive for this long just by better nutrition, right? Mm. Like, we're not all that naive anymore, right?
Mm.
Nobody's talking about this. I don't understand it at all. Like, remember in baseball, they used to talk about like, oh, the baseballs are juiced. Remember that was a phrase?
Yeah.
Yeah. We might talk about the amazing Phoenix training staff with the same level of joke in 5-10 years. I would not at all be surprised. And I'm not even getting about like, you know, the morality of like, you know, using these substances or should, you know, because that's a whole other conversation. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying it seems like with all these other sports, people are much more cynical, right? In football, people are cynical, but they seem to accept it, right? Like, we can joke about, you know, Ray Lewis cheating and, you know, deer antler spray and whatever.
Right.
Coming back from an injury that he should have been out for months after, like, you know, 10 weeks or whatever.
Right.
But we all sort of look at it and go, oh, well, you know, it's football. You know, got to be tough, got to get out there. Almost like it's an, you know, okay, that's okay.
Yeah.
Right. In baseball, everybody's cynical. There's a whole generation of baseball players that probably will never make the Hall of Fame. Right. But you got, again, this whole generation. The generation, really, I guess, you know, all these dudes from the late 90s who, I mean, 15-year careers for some of these guys.
Right.
Longer in Kobe's case. And we're all just going to be like, yeah, 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 no problem. Go to Germany and have your weird blood stuff done. And that's all cool. And, you know, come on. Someone's got to be suspicious at some point, right? And it's not even like me being a hater or anything like that. Like, I'm just saying, like, we all got fooled once. I don't know why anybody – I don't understand people right now.
Mm.
I look at all these old dudes like it's just suspicious. Because, I mean, again, I'll be the old man. Like, when we were growing up, once a player got to like 34, 35, that was it.
That was it.
You know, maybe you might, like, if you were a guard, you could reinvent yourself as like an off the bench 3-point specialist. Or if you were a point guard, you might be able to stick around and be like a second coach.
Right.
But that's it. Kevin Garnett is from the 1995 draft. It's 2013.
Yeesh.
That's a lot of NBA.
It's a lot of NBA. 82 games a year. They're star players, so they're playing longer.
I mean, he doesn't have as much mileage on him as you might think, because a lot of those, you know, a lot of those years in Minnesota, there were no playoff teams, but still.
Still, that's still the 82-game season.
Yeah, that's, you know, and he's had injuries and everything else, but, I mean, basically what, you know, if we think that everybody's clean, there's nothing going on, then you're asking me to believe that sometime in the past 10, 15 years, basketball players alone have figured out how to lengthen their careers by 5 years.
Mm.
Like, that just seems like a big leap of faith. I don't know. Am I crazy?
I think you have a legit point. I would like to hear somebody's response to that.
Mm. Yeah, so please, everybody, tell me why I'm terribly wrong. Use the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers, as always. So that was my rant about NBA players maybe you know, getting a little extra help. You want to talk about Dwight at all? Is he still hurt, or is he just not the same?
I think what's going on with Dwight, if you remember, when Dwight first got drafted, Dwight was very sheltered coming up. You know, grew up in an extremely religious household, said all this stuff about, you know, he's going to bring Jesus to the NBA and all this other stuff. You know, here we are, what, 7, 8 years later, you know, he's got three kids, three baby mamas. I think what's going on is Dwight is just being exposed to life. And if this is just a prime example of what happens when your parents don't prepare you for life. And they shield you and they tell you everything's going to be okay. And they don't fortify what they teach you or what they tell you. You know what I'm saying? Like your parents, a lot of our parents will very much do as I say, not as I do. And often we reap the benefits of that, or we reap the result of that. I don't think that's beneficial at all. So I just think Dwight grew up in an environment where, you know, being a man wasn't fortified and being a responsible adult wasn't a fortified aptitude, or it wasn't a fortified like thing. So in turn, now we're seeing Dwight grow up and take the bumps and bruises of a child who was ill prepared for the world. So when they say he's immature, when they say he's doing this and he's doing that, yeah, because he doesn't know any better.
Mm.
So I just think we're watching Dwight grow up before our eyes, and we're just watching him take these licks. He's getting hit, and he just doesn't know any better. And that's not a sympathy thing. I just think that he just doesn't know any better.
Mm.
So, you know, I think Dwight is somewhat hurt. You know, I think he's still hurt from his back last season.
Yeah,
because he had the back surgery, but then like, talk about the back surgery totally fell off when, you know, people were trying to trade him, or when he was trying to get out of Orlando, because nobody wanted to take him with a bad back. He kind of like Greg Oden him. So, you know, now all of a sudden it's his shoulder. My thing is like, yo, if you're that hurt, why are you playing in an All-Star game? That's the first thing I saw a turn on All-Star game. Like, why are you here?
Yeah.
If you're that hurt, take those 3 days and rest. Because your team obviously needs you. If y'all are trying to make the, I think they're 3.5 games back from the 8 seed. So that's still plausible, but I mean, they have to do everything right.
Yeah.
So what do you think about Dwight?
I think he's a player who is defined by his athleticism, not his skill.
I agree.
So when you start becoming bit by the injury bug repeatedly, that's a little concerning. When you're a big man with back problems, that's really scary. I mean, it's right. Not like foot problems, right? If you're a big man, you got foot problems, it's over.
Yeah.
You know, big man, back problems, other problems. Like, basically, I think the sort of concept, if you're a young big man who relies on his athleticism, the basic concept of your career, at least how it works out for most people, is you're going to take advantage of your athleticism while you have it, but you're going to work on your game so that when your athleticism starts to fall off, your game can take over.
Yep.
Dwight hasn't done enough of that yet. So if his athleticism whether he's limited by injury or whatever the case might be. If it falls off a little bit, that could be problematic for him.
Yep.
I don't know. It's funny. He's lucky. He's really lucky that the Brooklyn Nets are desperate to be as big and splashy of a team as possible.
Mm.
He's really kind of lucky because
they still want to take him despite all
this. They would give him as much money as he asks for.
Wow.
Because they need to keep that arena rocking.
Good point.
And they're, you know, they're going to stay locked in with a, you know, a race with the Knicks. The problem with being in New York when you have two teams is that you start to get really insular about what matters, and you start worrying about, like, how did the New York papers talk about my team versus the other team? Like, look at the Jets versus the Giants. When the Mets are playing well, look at the Mets versus the Yankees. Like, that just happens,
yeah.
Right? And so I don't think the players necessarily worry about that, but I would not be surprised if, maybe not the GM, but I think the owners care about that stuff. Right? And you start making stupid decisions.
Right.
Because your team's not being talked about enough. Never mind the fact that, look, the Nets as currently constructed, we're never going to win a title. But they look like they, you know, could win a playoff series.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah, what are they like? Were they fourth, I think?
Yeah. I mean, that, you know, unless they're going to make a really big move. In the East, there's the Heat, and then there's everybody else.
Yeah.
So they're in the everybody else category.
Along with everybody else.
If you're them, honestly, I don't, considering the money that they've spent and where they're at, I don't know what other move they could have than to try to get Dwight and basically hope that the experiment in Los Angeles was a disaster and that he really needed time to heal and that he's going to come back. Because if he does, that changes their whole team.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say about the Lakers?
Nope.
You want to say anything else about the NBA? So you think, what is it? Is it just like last year? Is it Miami and Oklahoma?
I think somebody else comes out the West.
You don't think OKC's got it? Because they're playing pretty well without Harden.
They're playing pretty well. I can see them getting to the finals.
Okay.
I really like the Clippers. I don't think they're ready. Okay. But if they make it to the finals, I wouldn't be surprised. I'll say that.
Yeah, they're an interesting team. Depending on who they play, in the playoffs, matchups mean so much.
Yep.
Right? And it's – I feel like Oklahoma City, they are – I feel like some teams are worried about Miami and trying to match up with them, which is a legit concern. But because the Clippers, frankly, because they have Chris Paul, and unless they do something stupid, they have Bledsoe off the bench.
Right.
They're talking about trading Eric Bledsoe. Can you believe that?
They are talking about trading Eric Bledsoe and I think DeAndre Jordan, well, too, right?
That's the asking price if they want Garnett. Garnett's home is – he wants – if he's going to play, I think he wants to play out close to home. Yeah. So – but that's too steep of an asking price.
Yeah. That's a one-shot deal.
Yeah, you basically think you're going to the finals right now.
Yep. And that's not going to – and that team can't beat Miami. Nope. Miami's repeating this year. I mean, it's obvious.
Yeah.
It's obvious. Now they're going to three-peat?
The thing I'll say. Out of all these teams, of course, Miami is uniquely – I mean, all teams are affected if their stars get injured. Miami is uniquely affected by that.
Yeah.
I guess OKC's in the same boat, right? If Durant gets hurt, they're in trouble. Real trouble. To me, that's what Harden always sort of gave them, right? Like, I think Westbrook's great, but if Westbrook got hurt when Harden was there, as long as it weren't a long-term injury, they had still enough firepower, they could make something happen.
Yep.
The Heat, you know – I mean, obviously, if LeBron's hurt, it's all over.
Does LeBron even get hurt?
He'll get hurt someday. Happens to everybody. But I don't know, you know, maybe it's because I'm old now, but like I'm always when I think about the playoffs, if you've got, you know, if you've got a pure point, it's hard to count you out. Because, you know, Chris Paul can sort of save himself during the end of the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They can shorten his minutes, give Bledsoe more running time, and then it can just be the Chris Paul show.
Yeah.
Never mind that. They can, I mean, you want to talk about matchup problems. Like, if they go small, they play Blake at the four, they put both Bledsoe and Chris in the backcourt at the end of games. Woo!
You know why they're not winning?
Why?
You just remind, your whole strategy just remind me of why the Clippers aren't winning.
Why are they not winning?
I've got three words for you.
What's that?
Vinny Del Negro.
It's true. You know, they're one of those teams where if they were really serious last year, if they would have went in a different direction with a coach, that could have been something serious.
Yep.
You're right. I keep forgetting Vinny's their coach.
I do too, because they're not playing bad.
Remember we all thought that Doc Rivers was a terrible coach?
Actually, I don't.
Everybody forgets that. His first year in Boston was a disaster. He was bad. And I still think he's a little overrated because I just remember those years. But he's regarded as one of the best coaches in basketball. And I don't think Vinny Del Negro is going to, you know, Doc Rivers himself. But, you know, who knows? Maybe he's becoming a mediocre coach. Maybe.
Good point.
But you're right. Them with a really good coach.
Yeah.
Rap City.
Yeah.
Rap City. It's all in.
And Odom's playing better. He just needed to be in LA.
Oh, man. Is he still fat?
He's actually playing himself into shape now.
Okay.
Yeah, Odom gives them, you know, if he's in shape come the playoffs, that's a whole other different look. If Odom's in shape come playoff time, then they can legit play. They can go small ball really effectively. Odom is the type of player where even at his age, he might not be sneaking out to guard twos anymore like he used to when he was young on the Clippers the first go round.
Yep.
But he's big enough, you know, he can play the four. If you're playing a slower three, he can play the three. If you're playing against a small, I mean, like I think, like hypothetically, if you play them against the Heat, he can go guard Bosch, absolutely.
Yeah, he could.
When they play Bosch at the five, like he just gives them more options. Like if you're talking about wanting a team to be flexible, he gives you a lot of options. Right, and he can still handle the ball. Yeah, I sound like I'm high on the Clippers. I don't know why.
Who do you think can come out the West besides OKC?
OKC, I think Clippers actually can. I never talk about them. I feel like the Spurs never die. Ever.
Yeah.
Never.
Yep.
They continue to reinvent themselves. They continue to hang on.
I agree with that.
Popovich, man, he's
disgusting.
You know, I can't count them out. Those would be my three. You think anybody else in the East has a shot?
No. Not at all.
You don't.
Chicago, do not let Derrick Rose come back.
Don't do it. In fact, I would. I try to trade Boozer.
Please get rid of Boozer.
Maybe
Chicago likes Boozer.
What they should have done is they should have pulled the 96 Spurs routine,
which was.
Tank. That was the year Robinson went out. Tank. And they grabbed Tim Duncan with the number one pick. You know, Robinson probably could have come back. Like, probably around the same, you know, after the All-Star break, he probably could have come back, but they held him off. They had a bad team. And they got it, you know, Boston had a better chance of getting the number one pick. But, you know, they got it. But, you know, I don't know. You think that they could gut that team. But you're right, they do like Boozer. Yeah, I don't know, man. Boozer.
Carlos Boozer.
All right. Anything else you want to say about NBA before we wrap this up?
Nah, man, I'm good.
Any other teams out there that you're interested in, you think can, you know, maybe not win, but who might surprise people in the playoffs?
I always like Memphis. I want to see what they do post Rudy Gay. I didn't know that them and Rudy Gay were beefing like that. and Rudy Gay's happy to be out of Toronto. I didn't know that.
That's interesting. I didn't know that either. I mean, the one year they actually did really well in the playoffs, Rudy Gay wasn't even there. So,
So I'm a big Mark Gasol fan.
Yeah, their success is all about is Zebo healthy.
Zebo, yeah, I like Zach Randolph. So, you know, I really like watching them. Other than that, man, I don't think this is obvious to me. I think Miami coasts to a championship.
Coasts?
I think they coast. Yeah, I think they coast.
I think they're the favorites, but
nobody takes them past six games.
You don't think so?
Maybe Indiana, but nah.
If it's OKC in the finals, you don't think so? You don't think they can take them 16?
I
know they've been killing them in the regular season.
They've been killing OKC. So,
I know that.
Nah, I don't think so. LeBron, I think now that LeBron has that pressure off of him, now he could just go on a tear.
I mean, I also feel like LeBron has finally realized, hey, if I go down low every so often, people can't do anything about it.
Right.
Right. And once he figured that, I mean, everybody knew that once he figured that out, you know, forget it.
It was over.
All right. Well, if you're not an NBA fan, you know, thank you for sticking through this episode of Clock Radio Speakers. But otherwise, you know, let us know what you think. Actually, real quick before we go, can we check on the PlayStation? They announced pricing?
They should have. My phone died.
I'm looking. They said holiday 2013. Okay. They didn't show the hardware.
They did not?
They did not.
Okay, so the picture I saw was fake. Okay.
And they didn't talk about a price. Wait, what? So there's no price. You can't see the hardware, but you can see the controller.
That's so cool.
What, you like the controller?
No, I mean.
Oh, gotcha.
I can see that you can see the controller. That's cool.
You know, there's going to be a share button on the DualShock 4.
Yeah, but I didn't know what was that explaining?
You can, if you do something, you can immediately like, share like video clips of it right to Facebook and Ustream.
Freaking Facebook. Won't die.
They just say holidays, but there's, you know, no firm shipping date, no real price. Apparently, I don't know, The Verge makes it sound like there's probably going to be some Microsoft announcements coming fairly soon. It looks like they just wanted to get in on it.
Yep.
That's stupid.
That's what I heard, because I heard about the new Xbox dropping before the PS4, and it just seemed like Sony kind of rushed everything and was like...
I mean, it seems like they're both dropping this holiday season, so...
Yeah. Hey, as long as Grand Theft Auto 5 is on my PS3, like, that's all I care about.
Yeah, what are you going to do if they lock that in as a PS4 exclusive?
I'll do what I do with my PS3 and buy a PS4 so I can play Grand Theft Auto.
See, that's why they're going to do it.
No, don't do it.
Grand Theft Auto, that is... Yeah, that they gotta have that. If it's on both, that's a defeat. Like when Grand Theft Auto was it? Grand Theft Auto, it was 4 that debuted on the PlayStation 3, right?
No, 3. No. That debuted on the PlayStation 3.
Yeah, it was Grand Theft Auto 4, right?
Yeah, 4 was on the PlayStation 3.
If that's why I bought it, like that and Metal Gear Solid.
Mm-hmm.
If Grand Theft Auto came out and they would have had it for PlayStation 2, that would have been a bad move.
Oh, man.
Get ready. Start saving. Everybody needs to go buy Kairos when it comes out. Fund the Armand Plays Video Games Fund.
Now I feel like Just Blaze. Fade to Black.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us this week. I think we're probably going to start doing some retrospectives again. So please, you know, if you have suggestions, please let us know.
Yeah.
As always, follow Armand on Twitter at Armand Wake Up. Follow me on Twitter at @Doc_Beats. That's not a Z. Follow the podcast at CRS Podcast. Don't forget, every Sunday, 10 to 12 p.m., you can hear Armand play music that we talk about. Anything else you want to say, man?
Nah, man. See you guys next week.
See you.
Thanks for tuning in.